إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and tomorrow, insha'Allah, we'd like to review the subject of factors for rectifying society by Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. This topic was presented or delivered by the Shaykh over 30 years ago. But no doubt it is timely, and the content of it is of great importance and inshallah of benefit as a reminder to us of where we should be directing our efforts in trying to rectify the society and trying to improve the society, wherever we might be, in trying to rebuild or reconstruct. So, the Shaykh, he begins praising Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان والأكملان على عبده ورسوله نبينا وإمامنا محمد عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. The Shaykh begins by praising Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and stating the fact and the reality that the end, i.e. the good end, is for the people of taqwa. Any success in the end is for the people who observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he asks for salat and salam, and a complete and perfect salat and salam be upon the servant of Allah and His Messenger, our Prophet and our Imam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and upon his family and his companions, and whoever follows his way and is guided by his guidance until the day of accounting, of judgment. And after this, it says, indeed, I am thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla for that which He has blessed me with in this meeting with my brothers and my sons. Any brothers in Islam, and any those who He sees as being like His own children in this university. Yani this talk was given at a university. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make this meeting a blessed meeting, and that He correct our hearts and our deeds, all of us, and that He make us of those who are guides, and who guide the people, and those who are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He make us of the Salihin and the Muslihin, right, that we are those who are righteous within ourselves, and we are also of those who rectify and correct and improve those who are around us. And the one whose righteousness is not limited to their self, but rather it extends to others. And that he protect us all from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our deeds. And that he protect us from the evil that is within us, that is other than the evil that comes from shaitan outside of us, or the shayateen from the human beings and the jinn. The evil that is within ourselves. And also that he protect us from the evil of our deeds, the evil consequences of our deeds. After this, I thank those who are responsible for this university for inviting me to this meeting. And I ask Allah to grant all of them success in doing that which is pleasing to Him, and grant them success in doing that which is for the improvement and betterment of the students of this university and its employees and those who are responsible for attending, for maintaining it. And also to grant them success in doing that which will be for the betterment and improvement of the Muslims in general. And that he increase them in guidance and in success, and in doing that which is pleasing to him. And that he protect us all and all of the Muslims from everything that angers him and opposes his divine legislation. Indeed, he is the one who gives plentifully and he is generous. And I just want to mention here that the supplication that the Shaykh is making in the beginning of his speech is indicative of the character of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. He always used to make a lot of supplication, a lot of dua for the Muslims, those who are in attendance and those who are not in attendance. And this is a good characteristic that we can try to follow ourselves. And making dua to Allah, and especially not forgetting the other people, the other Muslims. The Shaykh, he says, O my brothers, and O my noble sons, my word, I hope that it will be brief. And after that, there will be some answers concerning that which is presented of questions according to our ability. The title of this talk is Awamil Islah al-Mujtama'a, yani the factors or the elements or the important constituent active matters which will be necessary for the rectification or the improvement or betterment of the society. What are the important elements or factors that are necessary for the restoration and the reconstruction, the improvement, the betterment of the society? The society is in dire need of al-islah, and of improvement, betterment, of rectification or reconstruction. The society is in dire need of islah. That is the Islamic society and the societies other than the Islamic societies. But especially the Islamic society is in dire need to travel upon the manhaj, al-manhaj al-qawim, yani the upright methodology, the upright path. And that it takes hold of these factors or elements the causes or reasons and the means through which will be attained its rectification or restoration or improvement and betterment. And that it travels upon this minhaj, which was traveled upon by the best one of this ummah, the close friend of Ar-Rahman, the choice and best of all of his worshippers, our leader Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wa salam. And it is well known that these factors or these elements through which the rectification of the Islamic society will be achieved, and the other societies as well. It is well known that these factors, the factors which the Imam of the Messengers had stood upon, or used, or utilized, that is, the seal of the Prophets upon him, be the best of salat and salam from his Rabb. And likewise, these same factors were the factors that were utilized by his noble companions, and at the head of them, the rightly guided Khalifas, that is, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar al-Farooq, Uthman dhu'l-Nurayn, and Ali al-Murtada, Abu al-Hasan, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. Yani the factors, the elements that were the means through which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rectified the society, and those same factors were utilized by the rightly guided Khalifas, and as well by those who were with them from amongst the companions, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And may Allah make us to be followers of them in this path, to be followers of them with excellence in following. And it is well known that these factors which were utilized by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca first, and then in Al-Madinah, and there's no doubt that the end of this ummah, yani the latter generations of this ummah, will never be rectified except by that which rectified the beginning, the early generation of this ummah. And this is as it was said by the people of knowledge and the people of Iman, and from amongst them Al-Imam Al-Mashhur, the famous Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, the Imam of the people of Hijra of his time, and the well-known scholar of fiqh, one of the four Imams. He said this very same saying, and it was received and accepted by the people of knowledge of his time and after him. And all of them agreed to it. That is, the end of this ummah, yani the latter generations of this ummah, will never be rectified except by that which rectified the beginning of it. Yani the same thing that was used for the rectification of the society in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the same thing that is needed for all times after that, until the end, until Yawmul Qiyamah. And the meaning is that which rectified, that which improved and worked towards the betterment of the early generations of this ummah, it is following the book of Allah and the sunnah of his noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what will the end of this ummah until yawmul qiyamah will be rectified by. And by following, strictly adhering to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, this is something that we hear all the time, and perhaps it might not sound of great importance, but expressing it in words, the importance of adhering to the Quran and Sunnah is one thing to say in words, it's another thing to implement in our lives. It means that in every aspect of our life, in every day of our lives, in every moment, a person has to be considering if what they are doing and what they are saying and the way that they are going about and doing things, or the way that they are thinking, is this in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah? And are we doing things according to the Quran and Sunnah? Are we doing what we want to do, the way we want to do it, when we want to do it? How can we act and comply with the Quran and Sunnah unless we know it first? And we have to know the Quran and Sunnah. We have to study. We have to devote ourselves to learning, reading the Quran, and seeking the correct understanding of it, and learning the Sunnah, and seeking the correct understanding of it, so that it may be possible then to comply with it, to live by it. But it's not even possible if we don't know what is in the Quran and Sunnah thoroughly from beginning to end. That means this is a lifetime objective that must be worked on all the time until we leave here. So the Shaykh, he says, whoever wants to rectify the Islamic society or the other societies in this whole world by other than the way and the means and the elements that rectified the early generations, then this person is in error. And he has said, other than the truth. For there is no other way for the rectification of society. Rather, the only way for the correction, the rectification, the improvement and betterment of the people, and to make them upright upon the straight way, the only way to do this, it is the way that was traveled upon by our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the way that was traveled upon by his noble companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and then those who followed them in excellence, in righteousness, until this very day of ours. There is no other way except this. And this is by giving care and attention, al-inaya bil-Qur'an al-Azim, giving care and attention to the noble, the great Qur'an, the magnificent Qur'an, and also showing care and giving attention to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and calling the people to the Qur'an and the sunnah, and calling the people to understanding, to making an effort to seek to understand the Qur'an and sunnah. A person must call not only themselves, give a care to the Qur'an and sunnah, but we must also call the people to it, and call the people to understanding the Qur'an and sunnah, not just reading for reading's sake, but rather seeking to understand them, and spreading them amongst the people based upon knowledge and insight, and making clear that which these two sources point to, making clear to the people, what does the Qur'an and the Sunnah lead to? The rulings, the judgments in the authentic fundamentals of the Aqeedah. What does the Qur'an and the Sunnah point to of the correct and authentic fundamentals of Aqeedah? This is the foundation of the matter, that the Aqeedah is learned and understood properly, the correct fundamentals of Aqeedah. And from amongst the matters, the views, the concepts that are obligatory upon the Islamic society to take hold of is clarifying the prohibited things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon the Islamic society to warn against. Making clear what Allah has made haram. And making clear the boundaries which have been set by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we will stop at them, that we will not transgress those bounds. Making the people know what are the boundaries that Allah has set. Because if the people don't know, they might do things unknowingly, not knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited something. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the limits, the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so don't go near to them. And this is in reference to the prohibited matters, the boundaries that Allah set and what He has prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not go near to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from going near to them by engaging in sin. In the same way, He has prohibited us from transgressing the bounds which He has set for His servants. And here, He means in reference to those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us, that He has required us from the acts of worship and other legal matters. In other words, the boundaries are of two types: the prohibited things as well as the obligatory duties. And we must observe the boundaries that Allah has set in both of them. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first act that he began with, the first foundation that he has set up and that he has called people to, is the Tawheed of Allah and Ikhlas al-Ibadah lahu. Yani the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ acted upon and the first foundation that he set up and called people to is singling out Allah and making the worship for Him, purely for Him alone. This is the first act. And this is the first foundation that he spoke about and that he called people to and that he traveled upon. It is calling the people to the Tawheed of Allah and guiding them to the details of that. And not just general kalam, calling to Tawheed in general, worship Allah alone, but rather the details of Tawheed. Some people think, khalas, they know this expression, Tawheed and Shirk, but what about the details of Tawheed? Do we know the details of it? And the word which indicates this meaning of establishing Tawheed, the word that indicates this meaning is La ilaha illallah. This is the strong foundation, La ilaha illallah. And along with it is the testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. These two foundations, these two fundamentals, very important fundamentals, they are the foundation of Islam. And they are the foundation of the rectification or the restoration, the betterment and improvement of the Ummah. These are the two foundations. These are the two most important fundamentals for the rectification of the Ummah. Whoever takes hold of them and is upright upon them, sticks to them in action and in knowledge and in da'wah and patience, and whoever acts upon them, whoever seeks knowledge of them, whoever calls to them and then is patient with what comes to him in this da'wah, then his affair will be made upright by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through him the ummah will be improved, yani in accordance with the effort that he makes. and his ability and the means that he utilizes in this effort. And whoever loses or wastes away these two fundamentals, or even one of them, then he will be lost and destroyed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and revealed the Quran, the first thing that was revealed to him was Iqra. The first thing that was revealed to him was Iqra. Then Al-Mudathir. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded in Surah Al-Mudathir to warn the people, to go out and warn the people. So he stood up. He went to the people and he warned them and he called them to the Tawheed of Allah and he warned them against the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he said, O people, say La ilaha illallah and you will be successful. So the mushrikeen, they acted arrogantly and proudly and they rejected this. They denied it. Because this matter was not something that they were accustomed to. And this was not what they found their ancestors upon. So for this reason, they rejected it. And they said, at that, and he had this call from the Prophet ﷺ, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. Has he made all of our gods into one god? Has he made all the gods only one god? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. This is something amazing, strange. And what they were used to was that there are many gods. They were used to worshipping many gods. They were used to having many gods. So here's the Prophet ﷺ calling them, telling them there's only one that deserves to be worshipped. They said, this is strange. They said, أَإِنَّ لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Shall we leave our gods for an insane poet? And in this derogatory term, they referred to the Prophet ﷺ by, that he was insane and that he was just a poet. And before this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said about this matter, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ. That verily these people, if it is said to them, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, they acted proudly and arrogantly. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they would say, أَإِنَّ لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. Shall we leave our gods for this insane poet, for an insane poet? So Allah refuted them. He responded to them with his saying, بَلْ جَعَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Rather, and Allah responded to their false accusation against the Prophet ﷺ, saying, indeed, he has come with the truth. He is not an insane poet. Rather, he has come with the haqq. And he has confirmed, testified to the truthfulness of the messengers, yani those who came before him. He came with the same thing that the messengers before him came with. Now the Shaykh, he says here, that which is important to every one of us, we became responsible in any way, to some degree or another. So what happened after the Prophet ﷺ called the people to Tawheed and established Tawheed? Naam. Now, of course, a person has their responsibility is your family first, of course. Naam, always. And we should call our families first. We should rectify our own selves first, and our families, and our household, and those who are close to us, and then those outside and around and near to us. So here the Shaykh says, after this statement of the importance of Tawheed and that this is the means of rectification of the society. So what about the society today? What happened then? The Prophet ﷺ came with a clear message of Tawheed, and he established that message and that way in the earth. And now today, what do we see in the Muslim lands? All kinds of corruption, filth, immorality, misguidance, deviation, innovation. So what happened? The Sheikh says, وَبِسَبَبِ تَسَاهُلْ الْكَثِيرُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَطَلَبَةِ الْعِلْمِ وَعَيَانَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ الَّذِينَ فَقِهُوا تَوْهِيدِ اللَّهِ بِسَبَبِ تَسَاهُلْ فِي هَذَا الْعَصْلَ الْعَصِيلِ أَنْ تَشَرَ الشِّرْكِ فِي بُلْدَانِ كَثِيرًا وَعُبِدَتِ الْكُبُورِ وأهلها من دون الله وصرف لها الكثير من عبادة الله. يعني due to the laxity or negligence, يعني of considering يعني this important matter as unimportant, because the Shaykh said many of the scholars and the students of knowledge and the important, prominent people of Islam in the Muslim society who understood the Tawheed of Allah, due to their laxity and negligence in this very important foundation, shirk has spread in many lands. And the graves and those who are buried in them were worshipped instead of Allah. And much of the worship that belongs to Allah has been directed to other than Allah. So we find this person making dua, supplicating to the one that is in a grave, a dead person in a grave, and the other one seeking help by the one in the grave, and another one making a vow to the one in the grave, and the other one asking for some kind of emergency, yani help, a person in difficulty, calling on someone in the grave, a dead person. And this is the same as what was done by the Quraysh and other than the Quraysh in Jahiliyyah with Al-Uzza, and as it was done with by other than them with Al-Lat and Al-Manat and the other idols. And just as what was done by the pagan disbelievers in every time with the idols that they worshipped and the things that they worshipped besides Allah, and exalting them and calling upon them and seeking help from them and seeking blessings from touching the grave or touching these idols or things that are worshipped besides Allah, seeking help from them. This happened, why? Due to the laxity and leniency and negligence of the people who knew better. And the Shaykh said the ulama and the talabatul ilm, but also it is due to other people who are not scholars and may not even consider themselves as students of knowledge, but people who claim, yani us, we claim that we are upon the Sunnah, we are the people of Sunnah, and we know, we understand something about Tawheed, and even we have been negligent and lenient and taking the matter lightly, and we allowed, and we became a part of those who are responsible for allowing shirk and any corruption and filth and innovation to spread amongst the Muslims. And this is from the poison of shaitan and from the tricks and traps of shaitan. For indeed, he is most eager to cause the people to deviate from their aqidah and from their deen, and to make them far removed from their aqidah and their deen by every means possible. So what is obligatory upon the students of knowledge And these students of knowledge, the Shaykh said, that after Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are the hope of this ummah in terms of the future leadership. Those who are seeking knowledge, they are the hope of this ummah as the future leadership. And they are our hope after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the men, the future leaders, the men of tomorrow. No matter which university they have graduated from. These students of knowledge, they will direct the ship with wisdom. And it is hoped that they will direct the ship with wisdom and with sincerity and truthfulness. And that they will give care and attention to the foundation. And that they will know, they will be aware of the factor of this magnificent Tawheed, which is the thing that we must rely upon and focus upon. And everything else follows it. Yani everything else is secondary. In other words, whatever we are doing in the society, in ourselves, in our families, to rectify the society, the most important matter, the most important element, the most important factor for the rectification of the society is Tawheed, and everything else is secondary. And he given attention to Tawheed of Allah, and sincerity, and being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and given attention to our Iman, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he is the Messenger of Allah in truth, and believing that it is obligatory upon us to follow him, and in everything of his example that he has set for us, and to travel upon his methodology, and also to believe that his companions, they are the best of the ummah. To believe that his companions are the best of the ummah. And that they are the most excellent of this ummah. And it is obligatory upon us to think well of them. To have husnul dhan bihim. To think good of them. To only, yani, whatever we see or whatever we know about them, we should see them as being good. Indeed, they were the best of this ummah. Their aqeedah, in their aqeedah and in their yani justice, they are the best of the ummah after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are the carriers of the Qur'an, of the Sunnah, and they are the carriers of the Qur'an. Yani they are the people who have conveyed to us, who protected and preserved that which the revelation that came to the Prophet ﷺ and the Qur'an and the Sunnah, it came to us through the companions and the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. So it is obligatory to travel upon the same path that they travel upon. And to be pleased with all of them, every single one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And that our aqeedah requires of us to believe that they are the best of humanity, of all human beings in the earth, yani after the prophets. They are the best of humanity after the prophets alayhi wasallam, as has been confirmed in the Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, khayrun nas qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum, that the best of humanity of all human beings are those of my generation, yani those who believed in him from his generation, that is the companions, and then those who follow them, the tabi'un, and then those who follow them. And there are other hadith which indicate this matter. And this is the last point that we'll make, inshallah, and stop here. And then the Shaykh said, so the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the best of humanity after the Prophets, alayhi wasallam. And they are the most excellent of all humanity. And they are on different levels of excellence. And the most excellent of them are the Khulafa al-Rashidun. Yani the rightly guided Khalifas. Radiallahu anhum. And then the remaining of those 10 who yani have been promised paradise. Yani the other 6 after the four rightly guided Khalifas. Then the remaining of the companions, each according to their levels, in accordance with their knowledge and their excellence. Yani the companions of the Prophet ﷺ are the best of humanity after the Prophets. They are the most excellent of all people. And they have levels of excellence. The highest level of them are the 4 rightly guided Khalifas. And then the remaining of the 10 who are promised paradise. And then the rest of the companions, each according to their knowledge and their excellence. So it is obligatory to give careful attention to this foundation and to call the people to the Tawheed of Allah and to be sincere in the worship of Allah and to not go to extremes and in exaggeration and transgressing the bounds with the any things such as grave worship or exaggerating in the prophets or exaggerating in the awliya, worshipping them along with Allah. We must not fall into ghulu, yani exaggeration, exceeding the bounds and directing to the people in the graves, even if they are prophets or awliya or other than them, directing to them any worship or calling upon them or fearing them or having hope in them and whatever is similar to that belongs to Allah alone. So it is obligatory upon the students of knowledge and the leaders to exalt and to hold high the command of Allah and His prohibition, and that we make the fear of Allah to have a place to be settled in our hearts, the fear of Allah. Above, yani more importantly than everything else. And to exalt the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prohibition. And to not be concerned about those who spread lies against the truth and against the people of truth. Rather, we must have absolute trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the promise of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and His promise to His Messenger and the other prophets and messengers, as is mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا أَوْ لَتَعُودُنَّ فِي مِلَّتِنَا. Yani, those who disbelieve, they said to the messengers, we will remove you from our land. Or, yani, unless you return to our millah, to our way of life, our way. فَأَوْهَا إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ لَنُهْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then Allah revealed to them, yani, their Lord revealed to them, yani, the prophets and messengers, their Lord revealed to them that He would destroy the wrongdoers. وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ. And then we will make you to reside in the earth after them, after they have been destroyed, and that is for those who fear standing in front of me and those who fear my threat. So the students of knowledge and those who are guiding the people, the leaders who have insight, should not be concerned about those who spread lies. Yani the worshippers of graves who spread lies, or the superstitious ones who spread lies, and those who oppose Islam, whatever group or whatever type they come from. But rather, we must remain firm in our area, in our field, and be patient and make our hearts to be connected to Allah and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to hope for the help from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is the one who is our helper and He is the one who is our supporter subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has promised that He will grant help to those who help in His cause when He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. That all you believe, if you help and in the cause of Allah, then Allah will help you and He will make firm your feet. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that it was an obligation upon us to give support and help to the believers. وَلَكِنْ بِالشَّرْطِ وَهُوَ التَّمَسُّكْ بِدِينِ اللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِرُسُلِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَالْإِسْتِقَامَ عَلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ. Yani, that the promise of Allah's help has a condition, and that is that we hold fast to the deen of Allah and believing in or having iman in Allah and having iman in His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and being upright upon the deen of Allah. And this will be the cause or the means. It is the condition for the help of Allah for us, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said in another place in the Quran, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ, that Allah would definitely help those who help in His cause. In Allah لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ, لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ, indeed Allah is mighty, Allah is strong and Allah is mighty. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that we will definitely help and give support. Yani Allah will definitely help and give support to the one who supports His cause. Indeed Allah is strong and He is mighty. Those who, when we establish them in the earth, they establish the salat and they give the zakat and they enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. And there are other ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we close with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَا يُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَا يُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has promised those who believe from amongst you and who do good deeds that He will establish them in the earth, and He will make them successes as authority in the earth, as He made those before them the rulers in the earth, and He will give them strength in making their deen established, the deen that He is pleased with, and He will exchange them, their condition, giving them safety and security after they were in fear, with the condition that they worship Allah alone, that they worship Me alone, and they do not associate anything with Me, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is His promise, Azza wa Jalla, to those who are upright upon iman and guidance and doing righteous deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them the rulers in the earth, and He will establish their deen, and He will grant them safety, and He will protect them from the evil of their enemies and their traps, and He will support them, and He grant them support and help and success. And this is, anyway, we'll stop. But today, inshallah, tomorrow we'll try to complete it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Before this, any question about what we discussed this morning? Any question? Any comment? It's okay. One of the ayah, I think the ayah you're referring to, Allah said He would destroy the wrongdoers, then He will cause you to dwell in the land after them. That's the Surah to Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 13th and 14th ayah. And the last ayah that the Shaykh mentioned is from Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah and 55th ayah, which is similar in meaning but a little more detailed. Any other questions? 24, 55. Now. The leaders in the leaders of corruption and evil in the Muslim society and the Kafir society, they know that Islam is the means of rectification, that it will restore the society to a good condition, that it will improve and better the condition of the people and bring them nearer to Allah. And they want evil, they don't want good. That's why they fight against Islam. But they know this is the way of rectification. They know that Islam is the only thing that will rectify the society, that will change this condition. But they don't want good, they want evil. They want corruption, they want filth in the land. They know, for sure, they know that Islam is the way. There used to be a time many years ago in this country when the whole government across the board agreed that the people, the worst people in their society, according to them, were the people in the prisons. And the only thing that could rectify those people in the prisons was Islam. And for that reason, the government began to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to Muslims to come into the prisons and rectify the prison society, the worst of the whole society. And that was because the prisons were out of control. And they wanted to get them under control. They said, only if we rectify these people, we could have some safety inside this place. But as far as outside, they want the outside society to remain corrupt. Inside the prison, they wanted to get it under control. The only thing that could control it was the Muslims. In the Attica riots, the government, the New York State government, there was a commission to write a report about the Attica riots, and they testified clearly, it's documented until today. You can get that report, and you'll see that they clearly stated that the Muslims saved the lives of the hostages. That it was the Muslims that saved their lives and stopped not only the hostages but other prisoners from being hurt and killed. The only controlling factor in that situation was the Muslims. That's a fact. And they agreed and they testified to that. And until today, they still tell employees in their orientations about the Attica riots and what took place there and what was the controlling factor in that situation. So yes, you are right. They know that Islam is the controlling factor, the rectifying matter, and they don't want rectification. They want corruption. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.